Good morning to each one. It is good to be together in this setting and a special service this morning as we have communion and remember what Christ has done for us. I'm ever impressed with the writings of the Scripture, how it fits together, how one chapter goes to the next, and one is ending on a subject, the next one starts, and yet they connect. And there's a connection there because of Jesus Christ. And that is who we're remembering this morning. We do this in a special way with these emblems. And yet the main focal point is not our emblems, that we might do exactly everything right in how we come up here and all that, but rather that we would have our minds and our prayers throughout this service that would be on Christ. And, you know, maybe the leaders are with the responsibility to make sure that it does happen. Maybe I kind of get hung up on that a little bit sometimes because it can be kind of a underlying pressure that I face in a service like this. And really, I try hard to have Christ be first. That's where it's at. That's why we're here. It's to remember what he has done, his pain and his agony, and in an emphasis on trying for us to help us remember his care and love for us. He died for us because he first loved us. And one of those scriptures that impressed me many times, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 12, just for a few thoughts here this morning. Hebrews chapter 12 starts with a wherefore, and then we go back to chapter 11. We are familiar with the faith chapter of chapter 11. Many times if you get discouraged or you have questions about God and how he handles things of life and how he's going to do with your situation that you're in, and you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, you start reading some of those examples. It pretty much fits into a lot of the things that you and I go through today. Some are more extreme as far as the examples of persecution that we are not familiar with right here. But if you need help in your faith, then turn to chapter 11 and look at it. It's the God that we're trying to remember this morning in a special way that gives us those examples for us to learn from. And then chapter 12 goes right into the wherefore. And it connects the two chapters. It says here, wherefore, seeing about chapter 11, all those people that have gone before, and their different situations and the much variety in there of trials and temptations and trials to give up and give up the faith. And so we are to, it says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now notice, I think most of the Bibles have a comma next as a connection to verses 1 and 2. And so as we go into verse 2, we're talking about getting an answer to how are we going to run the race. And it gives Jesus as the example. And so when you look at that, and trying to remember what he has done for us this morning, it is Jesus that's mentioned next. And looking unto Jesus is the answer to our questions and problems and things that we come into in life, no matter what age we have. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. As we run this race, there is a suggestion here that we would use the life of Christ and what he has done for us and the way he did life, that is going to sustain us through our life and answer our questions. And if we don't, it says, lest you be weary and faint. And so to run the race and not get weary and fainting, Jesus is the answer. That's some of what's in there, and lots more. But for our communion time this morning, I'd like for us to think of a title of the sermon. Very simple. Simply is, remember the love of Jesus. And when you look at the idea of him being the author and finisher, or the one that completes our faith, in Hebrews here, he did this with joy. He endured the cross. Or in love, if you will. He endured the cross because of the love he had for us, for the joy that was set before him, despising the shame. It's kind of what he called, in a nutshell, all the gospels put together in the life of Christ and his crucifixion. It's kind of put in this verse here. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand in victory. Set down at the right hand of the Father. Well, when I think of the idea of remembering the love of God, and the love of Jesus here this morning, in our 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, it talks to us about remembering. And then he gives us the instructions, which I will read that passage here in a little bit. But we are to remember this, what Jesus has done for us and what he went through, what it cost him. That's our focus. His suffering, his agony, different words we can't even sometimes explain it all. And throughout the Bible, that word remember is used. Very interesting. You think of the children of Israel, many times God says, but now remember when you get to this easy part of life, out of slavery, and I brought you out to this totally on my strength, remember what I've done for you. And so this is kind of the same, you know, that whole slavery and their bondage in Egypt is really a picture of our life as a sinner, and our redemption of Jesus bringing them out is our redemption. God removing them from slavery, it's a picture of our redemption, and lots of parallels there. Well, I'm not going to read the Deuteronomy passage there, but I would like to turn to chapter 8 of Deuteronomy for a few remembrances here. It's kind of the same as the one that he directly talks about them coming out of Egypt. But Deuteronomy chapter 8, thinking of the title, Remembering the Love of Jesus. In this chapter, we will find a few times that it talks about remembering, considering, forget not, it says. And kind of the same as remembering, forget not. And so you have these almost like commands. And it's supposed to have us sit up and take attention, make a note of this in our minds and our thoughts. Remember, there's something to be remembered. And this morning, again, when we think of Jesus and what he has done, hopefully we can remember in a special way this morning. Okay, so we will point out a few times in this chapter when it talks about remember. What I would like for you to see also in this whole concept of Jesus, of God bringing the children of Israel out of slavery, out of that bondage, into a land that is flowing with milk and honey, it says, what, in chapter 12? I want you to notice the love that's involved in this whole idea. So, Yes, remember is a concept or a thread that's throughout the whole of Scripture. But the love of God is also. See, we think sometimes, or maybe I think sometimes, that you read the Old Testament and it's like, you either do what I say or it's judgment immediately. And the love of God is not quite as expressed in the same way in the Old Testament as I think it is in the New. But nevertheless, I want you to notice this as we look at chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt, what? Remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee hunger, or allowed hunger to come, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, and neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth the man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider or remember, contemplate in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water. And can we just pause a second? I'm sure it comes to your mind, but the parallel is so impressive. When we give our hearts to Jesus, we submit our life to him, and we follow him, no matter whether it's perfect following or not, we have a desire to follow Jesus. This is what is given to us also in a very close parallel. Right here, it's in the spiritual sense, he's not promising that we're going to have extra brooks of water on our land or fountains and so forth, but I think you get it. And it's, to me, it's so encouraging. We saw the experience of the children of Israel and what they were going through and what they came into. It was such a blessing. And we have never spent time in slavery, but I think we kind of get the picture when we read history of the United States, what a cruel, inhumane part of our history there is, of that slavery. And then they were brought out of that. I confess this morning, I was in slavery. I lived a life in slavery. It was maybe a selfish, supposedly fun life, but it had no peace. And it had no comfort at night to go to sleep. And it was not a peaceful life. And so, whenever I read, it gets pretty exciting when I read how, even in the Old Testament, these pictures of their previous life, or our previous life, and then you have your life today as a Christian, in joy, not saying that it's all perfect as far as our desires or so forth, but it's a time that we can make these parallels because of the peace that we have with Jesus Christ. Verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, land of brooks of water, fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. Doesn't that parallel something with John, whatever it is, 4:32 or something like that? It says something about our in our inner being will spring forth waters of living water. I can't get all that. But doesn't that look like that? Isn't that what I'm just reading? It's the same. It's a land of wheat, verse 8, and barley and vines, fig trees, pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey. I have a question here. This is kind of a side note, but I have a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, King James Version here I'm reading. Do you notice there in verse 8 it says, a land of oil, olive, and honey with no comma between oil and olive? Is that how your Bible says? Is that how it is? So maybe we would just say olive oil, I guess. Olive oil, I thought, is a processed item. Not saying that's dripping off the tree, but I always wondered if we should have had a comma in there, that there's actually crude oil in this land. And we're getting on the side here. I'm sorry, it's not communion. Communion material here this morning, but I'm not talking about conspiracy theory. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm just wondering, because the land there would be also rich in oil. But anyway, it's olive oil, I guess. We'll leave it at that. It's a land of plenty. Verse 9, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and whose hills thou may dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And beware that thou forget not. There's another remembrance. Remember that the Lord thy God, in keeping his commandments and judgments, his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built good houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver, thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. Another forget or remember it. The Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, drought. There was no water who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fled thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of thine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Again, remember, for it is he. It's he that did everything that was listed here. It's he that giveth thee power to get wealth. And it's he that has established his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And listen, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against thee this day, thou shalt surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyed before you, before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord. Let's remember why we're here this morning. Let's attempt to have an attitude of remembering what Jesus has done. Jesus has asked us, even in the Old Testament and throughout all of Scripture, to remember him in all of life. And in that whole chapter and on the whole Bible is the thread of love mixed in there with this morning. This morning we get together and we attempt to be reminded in a special way of his suffering, his agony, his shame, the cost of our salvation, the blood that he shed, the pain that was there. And over top of all that is this whole idea of the love of God that he has shed abroad on us. In the mixture of blood is really the idea of love. And so when we feel mistreated, or we feel unloved, we feel stabbed at, we feel different emotions about not having our expectations met in life and things, let's focus this morning also on the love of God. That is why we're here. And He wants us to remember, yes, remember the shed blood. That's what we're doing the emblems for, and His broken body. But the idea behind all that is His love. John 17. Turn to John 17 for a few scriptures. John 17 is the what we call Christ's prayer. There's a division here of three different people groups that He's praying for, or three different people that He prays for. John 17, the beginning verses, the first eight verses, He prays for Himself. And I'm not going to read these. It's just a little introduction here to chapters 18 and 19. The first eight verses, Jesus prays for Himself. Verses 9 to 19, Jesus prays for His disciples. And then very special, from 20 down to the last of the chapter, the verse 26, He prays for you and me. In verse 20, He says, neither pray I for these alone, in other words, not just the disciples, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, through the word of the disciples, and that's us. Jesus Himself is praying for you and I. He prays for Peter in a special way because Satan wants to sift and separate Peter's devotion from, separated from God. He wants to sift him as wheat, but He is praying a prayer for you. He's praying a prayer for me. In remembering what He has done for us, that was very impressive. And so let me go to verse chapter 19, when Jesus had spoken these words. In other words, He had finished this prayer, the whole chapter of 17. When He finished this prayer, when He had spoken these words, He went forth with His disciples over the brook Kidron. And we can kind of get a little picture. This is the beginning then of our betrayal and the false trials, and then the crucifixion of Jesus. And so He goes over to this brook, and in this garden where He often went with His disciples, if you put the four Gospels in the information of these same account, this same account together, you find a little bit of different information. Very interesting to put it all together and read all the chapters that are there concerning the deception and the crucifixion then of Jesus. He goes into this garden across the brook Kidron. And Judas is there. We see in verses 2 and 3, Judas is there and a band of soldiers, and Jesus talks to them. They fell over backwards in this John passage. This is the only one that says that, but it was kind of interesting. The power of God was there. And He was able to save His son and called the angels forth if He would needed to. But Jesus was set on fulfilling the plan of God. And so when we look at all that He went through, He did it for the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross and despised the shame. And so today as we look at the emblems, let's realize it was His love that He did it. That promoted Him to go through with all that He had to suffer. So we go through the chapter 18, and you come through without reading it. It's a lot of, some of it is Peter's denial. And that would be worth mentioning maybe in another sermon. Peter's denial and the different trials and Pilate. Kind of interesting thing, I thought, which doesn't have anything to do with Jesus this morning, but Pilate was quite an interesting story if you read all four Gospels. But I think I'm right to say that seven times Peter goes to Jesus trying to find a way to get him out of it and moves back and forth amongst the crowd that wanted to crucify him, goes back to Jesus, comes back. Then he sits down, then he washes his hands, and he's trying to get away from this. He needed to pronounce and allow the crucifixion. it was not for the Jews to decide if someone would die. But it was him. It was on him. And it was just kind of an interesting side note, but he really, really wanted to get out of it. But nevertheless, he fell under the pressure of the crowd. And we go to chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto him, "Behold the man." When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." Then the Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me, and knowest not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" And Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he delivered me unto thee. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from henceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let him go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh him a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement. And it was the day of the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." And so that word, that phrase, "Behold your king," is Pilate's pronunciation from the government that they are now able, they are allowed to crucify him. Or he gave it. And they cried, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said unto him, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth unto a place, the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. I will leave off reading there. There's much to be said about the gory details of the crucifixion, and we can dwell on that. But my emphasis this morning, I hope we can dwell on the idea of remembering that it's the love of God that took him to the cross to fulfill this whole idea of a blood sacrifice that would be enough to take away the sin of the world. Remember, the Old Testament is a proper phrase to say when we read the Old Testament that the blood of bulls and goats covered the sins of the people. Today, when we read the scripture in the New Testament, John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus coming, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." It's no longer a covering. I don't think that's proper for us to say that. He is now here and taketh away the sin of the world. That's your sin and my sin. He died for us and gave us this life to live for him. Let's live it for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for being with us this morning. We just ask your blessing on the remainder of the service here as we think of the emblems that we could concentrate and remember what you've done for us and your love for us. Just bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance. And so that's our subject here this morning. Jesus, the main focus, the subject would be to remember him. It says here, remember, do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in, again, remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. That last verse always impresses me that it's put in here. When we think of the suffering and remembering these emblems and what they stand for, in this whole idea is this also this verse that as often as you do this, you also do remember the Lord's coming. It's also not just looking back on what he has done, but for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. And so we could almost go into reading the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came and saw the empty tomb. It would fit in because it's the picture of the completeness of what was done here. But we're not going to do that this morning. Let's remember Jesus' suffering and death. And Kevin, I'll ask you to come forward to help with the emblems here. Bible just read this that says here, I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and we had given thanks. He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And so let's just pause a second before we come up here in remembering the bread and the broken body of Christ. Amen. Okay, at this time you can just come forward through here, then back in your seat again. Let's all partake of them together. Next in the scripture, it talks about the cup. This after the same manner, he also took the cup when we had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so as we each take our cup, we go back to our seat again. And as we partake of it, that we can remember the blood of Jesus. It's a symbol as a reminder that it took that pure blood of Jesus. It's not involved with a man. There's no way that that could have been pure blood, but it was the Son of God that shed His blood. The only way that He could provide salvation was because it was a perfect sacrifice. It was the Lamb of God. Go ahead, you can come up. Well, I guess if we didn't all take it together, we can all remember the emblem together. Let's pause for prayer. Amen. May the love of God penetrate your life today and in a special service and a special remembrance as we go from here. It is a meaningful time to be together as a body, and then we go from here serving Him that we remember, the one we remember. At this time, we will ask Aaron to come forward to read the John 13 passage. You can turn there if you have your Bibles, and he can feel free to make comments. And after he is done reading, those that are responsible for the tubs may be excused, and then Zeke, you can lead us in a couple songs.
I had before I start reading. I was reading over it last night, and I was just struck with the reality that this really happened. This isn't just a story in a book. It's not just like storybook material. It's not a parable. It's not something Jesus said, you know, this is a good idea. This is what Jesus actually did, and the Savior of the world knelt down and washed His disciples' feet. So as I read, don't listen to it as a story. Listen to it as reality. And the reality is that He does have a calling for us to do the same. That's not just a idea. That is a that's real. So, John 13, going to read until verse 17. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which are in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save wash his feet, but he is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he saith unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that hath sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them.
Several songs picked out, but quickly, is there a song that someone would like to sing here? If not, we can sing one, and if there is a selection after we're done with this first one, just feel free to call it out. We can start with 113 in your Christian hymnal. 113. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory
such love and sorrow.
330. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very sleepily stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him will cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, nourished my soul and soul. Faithful loving service to Him me long. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows His will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me.